Broadcasting Company presents Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hey, Ed.
Huh?
Stop the car a second, will you?
What's wrong?
I thought I saw something lying back there by the road.
Oh, what? Probably a dead dog.
No, no, hold it. It's too big to be a dog.
Oh, my feet.
Where is it? It's right over there.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
She dead?
Oh, I think I'm gonna be sick.
Me too. Let's go call the cops.
Here's another exciting half hour with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Diamond Detective Agency, if there's a corpse in your cellar and your nerves are a wreck, owe Rick to the rescue if you're writing a check.
Oh, Rick. I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
Can I make a suggestion?
Please do.
Feed me regularly, take me for walks, and be sure that you let me out nice.
Some suggestion. You do that for a cat.
Hi, Helen.
Hi.
How are you? No, I don't know. I think I'm a nervous wreck.
What from?
You remember when you said I ought to take up something to keep me busy in the office?
Yes.
You remember you mentioned knitting?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I dropped more stitches than the cross-eyed surgeon.
You idiot. I was only fooling.
Well, don't laugh. I was making Francis a pair of screaming argyles.
Keep with it, Strongheart. You'll win out.
Yeah, you're darn right I will. Oh, what I said. Darn. Get it? Ellen, are you still there?
Yes, Rick.
Wasn't funny?
No, Rick.
Okay, come on over. Let's snack.
Yes, Rick.
Shame on you.
Yes.
I'll see you about 8.
Oh.
You don't sound very happy.
That's such a long way off.
Give you time to make plans. Bye.
Bye.
Now, let's see. I gotta take out 5 rolls. Oh. Yeah, what is it?
Rick?
Oh, how are you, Walt?
Very unhappy.
You should see me. I gotta take out 5 whole rolls just to pick up one lousy stitch.
What?
Now, forget it. What are you unhappy about?
I'll tell you about it when you get down here.
Well, the 5th precinct's 20 blocks. Can't you give it to me over the pipe?
I wouldn't ask you if it wasn't important, and I'd rather not say anything over the phone.
Okay, okay. Stop making like life-facing Portia. I'll be down as soon as I finish this heel.
Heel?
Yeah. If you must know, I've taken up knitting.
Coming from you, I am unmoved. I don't care if you're building studs. You know, it's a fur-lined money belt. Get down here as fast as you can.
All right, Walt. But you'll be sorry when it starts getting cold again. And I won't knit your sweater to cover your rural blueberry.
Oh, now you get over here.
Bye, Walt. Getting Walt goat was a sport with me. Sometimes I wouldn't stay on the rib as long as I usually do, but that was only because Walt always starts sounding just a little bit worried. Then I know it's time to lay off and get serious. Now, don't misunderstand me. I never lay off entirely, and I never get completely serious. Those are two habits that don't help find a solution any quicker. They just fit you with a mess of ulcers, and you still end up too worried and too serious. I closed my office and headed for Walt's precinct. When I walked in, I spotted Sergeant Otis leaning back in his chair with his number 12 resting on the desk. Oh, hello, Sergeant Otis.
Well, how's the big private detective today?
Just fine, Otis. How's the flash of the 5th precinct?
Just fine, Diamond. How's the big private detective today?
You said that.
I did?
Yeah. Is the lieutenant busy?
No, but he's happy. Why spoil it?
Otis, when are you going to shine your buttons?
What buttons?
Oh, excuse me. Gravy stain.
Oh.
Hiya, Walt.
Rick, why don't you leave that poor guy alone? After you leave, he comes running in and cries all over my desk.
Otis? He wouldn't shed a tear if he was standing in an onion warehouse watching his grandmother set fire to herself.
Yeah, well, give him a rest for a while. I got a big problem I want to talk to you about.
All right, Walt, what's on your mind?
Well, I don't know quite how to give it to you. It isn't strictly kosher for the police force to go around asking for help.
Now, wait a minute. I don't want any apology routine. If you want a favor, you came to the right boy. You know that goes without saying.
Yeah, I guess I do, but... Now, this is a pretty big favor, Rick. The commissioner's on my back, and so is everyone else that's got anything to do with this city's government.
Oh, sounds rough. What did you do? Find out you were hiding a chimpanzee in a cop's uniform, calling him Sergeant Otis?
Oh, now be serious for a second, Rick.
All right, if you'll just get to the point.
All right, I guess you've been reading about these homicides you've been having for the past 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, pretty messy.
Well, the powers that be say solve them or turn in my badge.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. Don't they know that this is the toughest kind of a killing? The killer's obviously got a lot of screws loose, and a maniac doesn't need a motive to kill. Don't those swivel chair bigwigs know that a crime without a motive is the toughest job in the world to crack?
Sure, sure, they know all that, but the public and the press is yelling its head off, so the pressure's on.
Now, well, what do you want me for? You've got one of the best departments in the state.
When you were on the force, it was the best department in the state.
Now,
you stop that.
Then stop twisting my arm. What do you want?
I want help. I've got to crack this case by next week or I'm out of my ear.
Hmm.
You're the best detective we had on the force, and you're the best private gumshoe in the city.
Well, now, that's real nice.
You stop that clowning.
Okay, okay. What about these killings? Each time they find some dame looking like the last of a hamburger sale...
Excuse me a second, Rick. Yeah?
Lieutenant?
No, this is Oliver Dragon. What do you want, mallet head?
We just got a report from a guy out in the River Road. Another one of them butcher's killers.
What?
Yeah, some dame all hacked up and lying beside the road.
Okay, get the car out. I'll meet you downstairs. Oh, did you hear that, Rick?
Uh-huh.
Well, come on.
You want me along?
Of course. I can brief you about the whole setup on the way over.
I don't know whether it's such a good idea to get mixed up in it or not.
Why not?
Well, it looks like anybody who gets close to this killer doesn't have much of a future.
Well, you can't live forever.
Oh, now, aren't you the sweet one? No, that's not what's worrying me.
Well, what is that?
So when I go out, I want a nice, comfortable place to lie down in. The way this nut goes to work with a knife, I might end up in a meat locker.
Everybody back.
Go on through,
Lieutenant.
Show me
biceps, Otis. How did all these people get out here? This is 10 miles from anything.
Someone must have heard me call the police. When I left the phone booth, the whole crowd followed me out here.
Who are you?
My name is Ed Cody. Me and my friend here found the body.
Where is it?
Right over here, Walter.
How does it look?
The way you thought it would.
Now you see what I'm up against, Rick. This is the third killing like this in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, I don't feel too good. Let's walk over this way.
Yeah. Cody, you and your friend come along. We want to ask some questions.
Yeah, okay, Lieutenant.
Well, whoever the guy is that's pulling these murders, he's a complete lunatic.
Are they all like that, Walt? You should have seen the last one.
Hey, how'd you guys happen to spot the body?
Well, I saw it first and I told Ed here.
Yeah. We was just driving along when Max spotted something lying beside the road. I stopped the car and we got out. I saw what it was. I left Mac here and went back to town to call you.
What's your full name, Mac?
McCarthy. John McCarthy.
Okay. What are you doing, Rick?
Oh, looking at the road. That's your car up there, Cody?
It's Max. I was just driving.
You went ahead how far before you stopped?
Well, about 20 yards.
You won't find much, Rick, even if the road is soft. Their car and any other one would have blocked out the killer's tracks.
Hey, maybe he didn't use a car. Maybe he walked around this way and then killed her.
No, this place is 10 miles from anything. He drove all right.
This crowd has ruined any footprints for sure. Oh, here come the boys. Come on, Rick. As soon as they start examining things, we can get back to the station.
Yeah, I want to go through the whole file on the last two killings.
You won't find much.
Things of reading never hurt anyone.
That's the whole mess.
No leads at all, huh?
Not a one. I'm getting nearsighted from looking at all the lineup. They've picked up everything from drunks to safecrackers. No leads.
Same type of crime in every case. This killer's got a crazy streak as wide as Broadway.
Oh, wait till the commissioner hears about this one.
Well,
yeah?
Give me a pencil.
Now, tic-tac-toe is out. I got a headache.
Stop waving your gills and give me a pencil.
Here.
What are you doing with that map?
Drawing circles.
Now, you stop that. That's the scale of this city, and I don't want it loused up by your doodling.
Hmm. Look at that. So you make a dandy circle.
Well, thanks. What's it for?
How should I know? You drew it.
Drew what?
The circle.
Wasn't that a little foolish?
Of course it was. That's what I'm yelling about.
Well, that's bad for you.
What is yelling?
I know it. I thought you said you didn't know.
Know what?
About the circle I just drew.
What circle?
The one on the map.
That's what I was yelling about.
Well, why? You didn't draw it.
I know I didn't. You did.
What for?
How should I know?
You're a policeman.
What in blazes has that got to do with it?
You were a rookie, weren't you?
Of course I was.
You worked your way up to sergeant and then head of homicide, didn't you?
You know very good and well I did.
Wasn't it a little tough?
You bet it was. I pounded a beef for 4 long years. I did it by the sweat of my brow. Now, wait a minute. How did we get into this?
You asked me about this circle I drew.
I did?
Yes, Walt, but you didn't know what it was for.
Oh, yeah. Well, what is it for?
For you. You like it?
Yeah, it's not that. Oh, I knew it. I knew it. You lowlife, you conniving, dirty, underhanded louse. You always do this to me. I think you sit around nights and pull the wings off of flies.
Moths.
All right, moths. You sit around and dream up little monstrosities to pull on the police force and use me as a
guinea pig.
Right, guinea pig.
You call me, Lieutenant?
No, get out of here, you idiot.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Diamond, for once, I'm going to find out what's at the end of this merry-go-round. I want to know about that circle. And I'm going to get it out of you if I have to shove that map down your throat.
What was that?
Huh?
What was that you said, Anderson? This is the commissioner.
Oh, not you, commissioner.
Oh, no. I want to call it over these killings.
Yes, commissioner.
I want you to put on more pressure.
Yes, commissioner.
What have you done about the legacy?
Well, I just went out and looked at the body.
Well, what is my name?
Yes, but...
Mr.
Fenton's
been sitting around long enough.
But
your motor's running.
You shut up.
Oh?
Oh, no, Commissioner. Somebody else.
All right. But if I don't get to Nelson in the next 24 hours,
you're
going to be turned down.
Yes, sir.
And that's the end of it. I'm not
kidding.
Get
down. Yes, sir.
Oh. Who was it?
I am not talking to you.
Don't you want to know about the circle?
No.
Fine. Well, when I was looking over reports on the killings, I noticed something.
You don't say.
Say what? Okay, if you don't want to play. Be a sore head all your life. Well, I noticed that all of the killings, including the one we looked at this afternoon, were within at least 10 miles of each other. And the first one, this one right here, was exactly in the opposite direction from the last one.
Bully for you.
No, it's nothing. Nothing. Well, using the first and last homicide for the edge of the circle, we find that the other killing also falls within the sphere.
Okay, so what?
Mm-hmm. Getting interested? Well, the girl this afternoon had been dead for about, 14 hours, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but the coroner can come closer.
Well, about, anyway. In the other two cases, it says that both girls were killed about 3 in the morning. If the last one was dead 14 hours, she comes close to that time, too.
Okay. What does that prove?
Not a thing. That is something to go on. This is a wild one, Walt. But let's say that our killer started off with his victim somewhere, within that circle. To drive 5 miles, half the distance of the circle, it would take him, about...
15 minutes.
Mm-hmm, 15 minutes. Now, that means he left his starting point around 2:45. That's a funny hour to be so consistent.
You're right.
Bars close at 2, 45 minutes to talk a dame into a ride. The killer probably started from somewhere outside the circle. But we can start by eliminating the idea of the night spots anyway.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Send out a 508 and get everybody in here. I want to check another night spot from
45th Street and Broadway at the center of the circle.
From 45th Street and Broadway for 10 miles in every direction.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Now that means cafes, bars, bowling alleys, anything that stays open until 2 or after. And step on it.
I hope we're right.
So do I. I don't like walking on eggs.
Then sit down. Who knows? You might hatch something.
NBC is bringing you Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Walt found out the name of the last victim and the family supplied us with a picture. Her name is Martha Kirk, and they knew nothing of her whereabouts the night of the murder. You can't really appreciate a police department until you really see them in action. Inside of 2 hours, Walt had every dive, bar, and night spot in the 10-mile circle tagged. They spread out, one man to every 5 blocks, each with a picture of the 3 murdered girls. Because it had been my idea, Walt wanted me to swim with it and maybe sink. I took a little section from 48th Street to 46th Street, and by late afternoon, I'd covered most of the likely prospects. Yeah, you guessed it. The bottom of the barrel was coming up fast, and it was emptier than a ballpark during a thunderstorm. No one had ever seen the 3 victims. The last spot on the list was a bowling alley. In and spotted a cocktail lounge, and when I climbed up on one of the stools, a bartender with a head that should have been out on the alley walked up to me.
Yeah,
what a thing. How about a glass of milk?
Glass of milk? Think you can stand it?
Well, if you're worried, water it a little. I don't want to pass out on you.
I get him. He made it funny.
So did your family.
You're looking for trouble?
Only if I get pushed. I'm looking for information.
Place door on the left.
Yeah. Yeah, ever seen any of these girls before?
What are you, a cop?
Let's just say I'm nosy. and I've got a badge to keep me in the spirit of things.
Oh, why don't you say so? Let me see.
All right. Here's the first one.
I never seen
her. How about this one? And this one?
Nah. Wait a minute. Sure, I know. This one comes to me about twice a week. Was it last night? Gets lushed up and cries about how tough her family is on him. Oh, let's see. Her name is... Martha Craig. Nice looker.
She was.
Huh?
Did she ever come in here with a man?
Nah, but sometimes she leaves with one.
Same guy every time?
Nah.
Do you remember her leaving with a man last night?
Yeah. Come to think of it, she did.
What time?
About 2:15. We stopped serving at 2. Right on the dot, that we do.
Oh, that's your deal, yeah. Okay. Think you know the guy this time again?
Sure, he comes in a couple times a week, too. I seen him pick up a couple of strays. I guess you call him a wolf.
Yeah, with a hatchet.
Huh?
Forget it. Where's your phone?
Right over there. Hey, use a slug. It's on the house door.
Thanks.
I hope nothing's happened to Martha. She was a rotten drunk for the water. Cheers.
Well, she was, huh?
Sergeant Otis, at your service. If you're in trouble, you probably deserve it.
Oh, that's awful.
Okay, Diamond, you don't have to get nasty.
Shut up and get me the lieutenant.
One moment, please. Lieutenant Levinson.
You can forget about retiring, Walt.
You got something?
Yeah, looks like. What did your boys turn up?
Nothing yet. What is it, Rick?
Get over to the 47th and 9th. You know the bowling alley in the middle of the block? I'm in the bar.
Want me to bring the boys?
No. This is one we've got to play quietly. I don't want to scare our ghoul off.
I'll be right down.
Hey, bartender, what about that milk?
Oh, yeah, coming up.
Is it going to be a pinch?
There is, Buster. There certainly is. Walt romped in about a half an hour later, and he talked to the bartender. He finally looked satisfied. He had to, because it was the only lead that had turned up. We told the bartender to tip us if the guy showed again, and we set on the way. Maybe my rabbit's foot started thinking it was back with a quartet because around 1 o'clock it started kicking. The bartender gave us a nod just as a big guy wandered in and sat down at the bar. He weighed in at about 220, and his clothes were sloppy. He ordered a drink and started eyeing the cute little number sitting at the other end of the bar. Let's take him. Now hold it, Walt. He's making a pitch.
What?
The dame at the end of the bar.
So he's making a pitch. What do you want him to do? Wait around till he takes her out of here? Maybe you'd like to help him sharpen his axe.
Look, you haul him in now, you'll have to beat it out of him.
You want him to pick the dame up?
Is that against the law? Arrest me.
Stop your clowning.
You'd rather catch him with the goods, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but now don't start that again.
You butted the commissioner to death. Just relax. Maybe you can pick up a few pointers. Our big boy moves, all right. Right up to the seat next to the cute little girl. He was under full sail and didn't seem to mind at all. He landed at 1:15. At 1:30, he had established a firm beachhead. And by 2 o'clock, there was a flag raising.
Okay, he scored. The joint's closing.
I'm believing I'm going to tail him.
How? He's probably got a car. He's pretty sure if he takes it out to some lonely place.
How do I know? You put in a call for a dragnet around this area for 10 miles.
I'm not going to let you. If he gets away with that girl, he may kill him.
Look, Walt, I promise you, he won't get into that car unless I can stick with him. Come on, we'll both stick close to him until I can think of something. We followed the man and girl outside and walked a few yards behind, making like we had a little load on. They headed for a big parking lot, and that's when I got the idea. The parking attendant was just walking up to him when I stumbled forward.
Hey, bye.
Rick, what are you doing?
Stay with me, Walt.
Yeah, Mr. Sonny, I'll like my automobile.
Hey, just a minute. I was here first.
Sure, Hattie. Don't let him get away with it.
Yeah.
Well, look, old man. My friend here is late getting home, and he's got a wife that's 10 feet tall. You mind if I get my car first?
No, go ahead.
Sonny!
No, relax, Sonny, relax. We're going to take a little drive.
Yeah.
Okay, mister, let's see your ticket.
Well, I got it here. Someplace right in my pocket. Come on, we'll walk up. I know where the car is.
Okay, but you got to have a ticket.
Rick, what's going on? Keep walking.
Hey, I thought you was loaded.
Keep going with the police.
You what?
That's right.
Hmm. What's wrong?
Which one is that guy's car?
You mean the guy back there with the van?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Oh, he gave me his ticket. Oh, it's right over there, the coupe.
Rick, come on. I'm going to climb in that trunk, and you're going to get in your car and tail us. But stay far enough behind so that he doesn't spot you.
Okay, but I think you're crazy. Is the trunk open?
Yeah. I get going.
Well, they'll see me coming back.
Well, then tell him you forgot something in the bowling alley. I passed out my card.
All right.
And, son.
Yeah?
Don't let on that anything happened. They think that man is a killer.
Oh.
I squeezed into the trunk and waited. About 2 minutes later, the lovebird showed up and got in the front seat. I rode like that for about 15 minutes, and it wasn't bad until we hit the dirt road. Then my inside started bouncing around like a pound of rice in a wind tunnel. We drove for about 10 minutes more and came to a stop. I raised the trunk just enough to get some fresh air and listen. I didn't want to climb out because they'd feel the movement up in front. I was sure they could hear my breathing.
Oh. What are you stopping for?
I thought maybe that.
Yeah?
I wanted to look at the pretty scenery.
Well, how can you? Uh-huh. So dark. There you go.
Thanks to you, baby.
Dad?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. So are you.
I've been on my bed for another 5 minutes, and I started thinking I picked the wrong guy. Then the conversation changed.
What's the matter? What's the matter?
Touch it up.
No, I don't like the way you're acting.
Women, that's what's funny. All the same.
Huh?
Like my wife. She was like all the other women.
Hey, let's get out of here. You're talking funny.
Funny, yeah. See a man and you like him, any man. You're all alike.
Now you stop that.
Now, come here.
No way. You let me go. You ain't no different. Come here. Oh, stop it. Get in the car. Sure. Go ahead. I don't want no blood stains on the seats anyway. I rolled out and didn't forget to take my .38 along. I spotted him in the moonlight, moving after her like a big animal. He was laughing. I could see he had something in his hand. It was a knife. He tripped and fell, and he moved in. He gave me goosebumps bigger than a grapefruit. When he was nearly on top of her, I closed in. Okay, hold it, hold it. Drop the knife.
You all right?
You
glad
you
got here? All right, now, just take it easy. It's all over. Are you sure you're all right, honey?
You know something?
No, what?
I think that man's crazy. Mr. Diamond.
Good evening, Francis. Is Miss Asher in?
Yes, sir. She's in the study, knitting.
Knitting?
Knitting.
Mm. Thank you, Francis.
Knit one, purl two. Drop
three. That's the way I do it.
Yes.
Hello, baby.
Oh, look what I've gotten into. I'm a nervous wreck.
Well, that'll teach you. What are you building?
It was going to be a surprise for you.
Oh, a whole suit.
Silly. Yes. I'll get it. Hello?
Oh, Helen, is Rick there?
Just a minute. It's Walt, Rick.
Oh, well, give me that phone. Where are you? Why didn't you follow me like I told you to?
Well, something happened.
Well, what happened, you big ox? I could have been killed out there.
I'm sorry, but...
Why didn't you follow me?
I got caught in the Triborough Bridge and I didn't have a quarter.
Why didn't you use your police badge?
Holy smoke. Now you tell me.
Ricky.
Yeah.
I need relaxing.
You need relaxing? Oh, swell.
Ricky. Come here.
I know just the thing.
No, come over here.
There's an old spinning wheel in the parlor.
spinning dreams of the long, long ago.
Nothing.
What's the matter, dear?
Oh.
Well, how about this one? Well, Amir, just let me start that again, will you? I didn't get started very well. Wilhelmina, she's the cutest little girl in Copenhagen. Wilhelmina, she has all the fellas crazy in the noggin. In Copenhagen, all the roses on her cheeks, and the music when she speaks, and how sweet her kiss tastes. Sugar candy's like my mama's Danish pastry. Wilhelmina, maybe soon we'll elope in Copenhagen. Wilhelmina, we'll share everything, including my toboggan. In Copenhagen, all the other girls, they know. But Wilhelmina, she denies. All the boys call Wilhelmina Willie, but I call Wilhelmina mine.
Now,
how did you like that, huh?
Well, it's wonderful, but where did the orchestra come from?
Oh, the orchestra? Did you like it?
Mm-hmm.
No, don't knock it.
Rick.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I needed relaxing.
Oh, well, how's this? Rag Mop.
Rick!
Rag Mop.
Oh, no, Rick!
Rag Mop. I started that one right. I guess I like that one, too.
You can sing later.
Oh, all right. Now, what is it, little baby?
Here.
Mmm. You know something?
What?
I may never sing again.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Lieutenant Levinson was played by Ed Begley, who soon will be seen in the MGM production, Stars in My Crown. Also in the cast were Virginia Delby, Williams Herbert, Maureen Tuttle, Bill Conrad, Peter Leeds, and Jack Crucian. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Tonight's show was written by Blake Edwards and directed by Warren Lewis. Dick Powell currently may be seen in the motion picture version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Look for the private life story of Dick Powell, My Face and the Private Eye, in the May issue of Moody Stars Parade on your newsstand now. This is Eddie King inviting you to be with us next Wednesday at this same time, when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective. Dimension X, from the annals of science fiction, a new radio series about man and science and a future destiny. Saturday on NBC, here, Dimension X.